we were being recorded. My birthday.
Yeah, and I was talking away and being muted, so that.
I thought so.
Yeah. Well, first of all, there's a couple of projects, and people are coming along. I know that the Danes have handed in their meditation book, and we're looking for somebody in Denmark to lay it out. And because the fact of the matter is, I mean, there's only one person doing the layouts right now, and all the manuscripts are coming in a steady stream. So we're trying to see if we can resolve some things here. The Greek handed in their literature a while ago, and we are working with them to get electronic the yellow workbook electronically so that they can work with that. Meanwhile, we have been able to upload the Greek daily meditation on the EC website, so that the Greeks have a place they can read their meditation book before it comes out. The reason for that is that their fellowship is extremely small, they cannot afford to get hard covers of their books right now. The Russians have finalized their yellow workbook as well. And they've gone through it for review and are ready to go, basically. And I know that Jeffrey is supposed to talk with Dennis. How this has gone? Dennis stepped down as the chair of the IG in Moscow, but he has now put himself as a liaison for the new translation team in Russia to make this happen, because he was part of the process with the Big Red Book. And I think I will let Alexia, who is on the call, speak about the German translation.
Oops. Hi, this is Alexia from Germany.
Hi, Alexia.
Yes, what do you want me to tell you? How far we are?
Two things would be really worth talking about, as well as just mentioning your website has gone live. One is where you stand with your yellow book translation, and the other is, I understand you have, or right at the very near end of giving us some free literature for downloading.
Okay. Yes. Our first project to edit or to translate new the free downloadable text from the ACA WSO website is completed. So we passed in all the translations to Robin to have them uploaded. At the moment, just the A4 format, and the letter format is coming next week. So this is for the first 19 meeting texts and flyers, and also we translated also the tool bag and the literature policy. So this is going to be uploaded by Robin, as far as I know. And yes, and the letter format is coming next week. And for the yellow workbook, we finished the translation of the yellow workbook. And since we have a sixth-level workflow here in Germany for our translations, this is now being proofread and edited again. So we have a deadline for the mid of August for that, and then hopefully we will be able to pass this to Robin as well and to the WSO to have it reviewed and approved. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Alexia, and thank you for the great work you've been doing in Germany.
thank you.
Maybrit, anything else you would like to add? And are you on mute?
Yeah, here we go again. Thank you. Well, the people from Spain, the new translation committee, is looking into trying to trying to translate the Laundryless Workbook, and they're also looking. They were talking with us earlier today on how to proceed with the meditation book, because they know that there has been handed in a script from a Panamanian group, so we're looking into that to verify that and see if what we can make happen on that area. So, yeah, there's a lot of projects. I know that the Swedes have done about two-thirds of the Big Red Book translated, and yeah, lots of stuff going on. We the Romanians have started. They have signed a. Sorry, I can't hear anything. There's background noise.
Mute, please, if you're listening.
The Romanians have signed a translation agreement and started to do their part of the translation, too. Alexia, Charlie, and me are working on new guidelines for translations teams to make them aware of the workflow and the process after having completed the translation. So it is probably more transparent for them what's going to happen with their literature once the script is handed in. And I think that's it.
Yeah, I actually have really come to the conclusion it's very helpful. I've been having some involvement with some of the translation committees in recent months, and it's been very clear that countries come from just a whole range of very big, well-organized fellowships, in some cases very small fellowships, scarcely more than a translation committee. And so we are needing to give clear guidance to help people know all the things they know. And some of them are very directly related to translation. One of them is actually a suggestion from Mybrit: translate the traditions first, because you're going to need them to survive the translation process, how the publication process works, what probably is the right order to translate documents, and so something a lot more directive, because the work the translation committees do has just been enormous. And then finally, what are the obligations of WSO when the work is turned in? Because the work by the committees has been enormous, and it's expanding all the time. So we just are working on a guidance document that will create greater order and clarity for everybody involved. So any questions about the translation update?
This is Robin.
Hi, Robin.
I copied you on an email. I'm not sure I copied Margaret because she's EU, but we did receive an email from someone who wants to translate our literature into Korean, and I did respond to him and ask him if he had a group or access to an intergroup, where in the world he was located, sometimes we get requests from people to translate literature into other languages, and they live here in the United States, but they grew up in Japan or Korea, and so that's. I just wanted to add that we have had someone reach out to us wanting to translate into Korean.
Excellent. Have you gotten back to them yet, Robin?
Yes, I did. I asked him, where in the world is he? Does he attend meetings? Just general information to help me help him get translation started. Sometimes, for instance, 1 year, someone in Turkey sent me a translation. They say, here, I've translated the 12 steps into Turkish. Goodbye. So sometimes that's all we get. And we're grateful for what we do receive when people have their higher power move them to do this for the fellowship.
Okay. So a lot is happening there. We actually believe my vision for 6 months from now is we will have identified a few projects that have been backlogged and really moved them forward into production. We are very excited by the expected arrival of the German Yellow Book. I think there's a clarity. We want to make that a very high priority for producing into book form. And then just again, really, that as new translation groups come to us, that we will be able to give them better guidance and support. Because another thing that MyBrit is organizing is a regular call of translation specialists so that we can all kind of work through issues together, which I think everybody who is doing translating has heard of the idea, has really welcomed. So one last thing in the way of reports, and then I'd like to open up a couple of discussion items today. I had hoped to have an updated literature queue to post on the website before today's call. It's a high priority of mine to be able to give transparency to not only people who join these calls, but the whole fellowship as to what's the status of different projects that have been proposed or submitted to us. For various reasons, this was just a week where the board had a lot of activity on sort of internal organizational issues. And as I often said in my high school years, I am behind in my homework. My expectation is certainly within the next 2 to 3 weeks, this will happen, and then I'll report on it on the next call. But if people are interested, stay tuned on the Literature Committee section, and we will be posting our first kind of literature queue document, and the goal will be to update it quarterly so that people have a regular status report on where individual projects stand, either in terms of being approved or executed. So with that, before we go into a couple of discussion items where I'd like to get feedback from people on the call, one thing I'd like to do is, now that we are recording and we've had a few people join us, if people can bear with me for about 3 minutes, I'd like to redo the whole roll call process. So, and I'm going to break it into three groups now. If your first name starts A to G, can you check in so we can do a recorded roll call?
This is David. I'm joined a little bit late, Vice Chair. Thank you.
Welcome, David.
David M.
This is Elizabeth C. from LaGrange, Illinois.
I'm sorry, what was the name from LaGrange?
Elizabeth.
Elizabeth. Okay, great.
This is Carol, MPS Chair.
Hi, Carol.
Erin D. from Delegate Training Subcommittee.
Erin, so happy to have you on the call.
I'm going to be as long as I can.
Okay. We're going to be going till probably, I'm guessing, 12:45 is my Eastern, is
okay.
My guess.
Okay. Thank you.
This is Barb from New Haven.
Hi, Barb.
Hello.
This is Greg from Texas.
Hey, Greg.
Hello, this is Alexia from Germany. I'm the chair and the coordinator of the German Literature Committee.
Hi, Alexia. Anybody else, A to G, first name? Okay, this actually has seemed to help. H through N as in Nancy.
Hans, Tennessee.
Hi, Hans.
It's Mary Jo, board chair.
Hi, Mary Jo.
Jeannie, Jupiter, Florida.
Jeannie, welcome.
Thank you so much.
Karen from Iowa.
Hi, Karen.
Matt from Wisconsin.
Hey, Matt.
Myvert from Denmark, European chair and chair of Foreign Translation Committee.
Hi, Myvert. Anybody else, H through N as in Nancy? And then, okay, lastly, anybody O through the rest of the alphabet?
Sophia, East Bay, California.
Hi, Sophia.
Hi.
This is Rosalie from the Western Washington Intergroup, chairperson.
Hi, Rosalie.
This is Robin from Texas.
Hey, Robin. Anybody else? Okay, one, before we move into a couple of discussion topics, I wanted to say I'm really pleased by the diversity of people on this call. We actually have a significant number of board members, which is great. We have a lot of people from different parts of the country, and one of the things I find extraordinarily valuable in all of our development projects and these quarterly calls is we've been doing some of the traditional reporting, but I find it just hugely valuable to be able to put out some questions and get people's perspective, because I feel very confident when we have this level, caliber, number, and diversity of people on the phone that it's representative of thinking much greater than just my own. So I've got a couple of topics I want to – by the way, we just have somebody join us.
Hi, Denise, Alaska.
Oh, hi, Denise. How are you?
I'm good, and I'm late, and I'm sorry.
That's quite all right.
Charlie, I had one quick update, if I could get it.
Please, go ahead, David.
No, I wanted to get one from Tamara as far as progress on both the AA folder, the trifold, and the Ready, Set, Go. I wasn't on the call yet for that. If you could
let me ask a favor. First off, Tamara's not on the call.
You can catch me up later with that then. No problem.
I'll catch up later. Yeah, because we went through these.
No problem.
First thing I'd like to do as a discussion topic is actually catch people up with an experience I had in Toronto that really was not 100% comfortable for me, and it made me feel like there was an aspect of our development and especially our literature review process that we might want to consider changing. I wanted to sort of run the problem, not just for me, but I think other people at the annual business conference, and just get some feedback as to whether you think I'm on the right track or not. Basically, our literature review process is in the literature section of the website, but also a good chunk of it. Hi, did somebody just join the call?
Yeah, hi, it's Matt W. from Illinois.
Hey, Matt, welcome. Basically, and it's also in our OPPM, which is also accessible on the website, the key elements of it. And I only kind of realized this belatedly, and I went with it because it allowed me to put the Ready, Set, Go up in front of the ABC for approval this year instead of waiting it for a year. But basically what it says is this, that you go through an early development process. It's reviewed by the literature committee, and we have a literature evaluation subcommittee of volunteers that helps us do the early reviews. When you think it's ready, you submit it to the board, and then the board, in turn, submits it to the ABC. And if the ABC approves it, then there's one last fellowship review process, which we were talking about earlier with the Ready, Set, Go and the AA trifold that David just mentioned, where the ABC approves it, then it goes back for 3 or 4 months of people read it, submit comments, we do additional edits, and then we take it live. The problem that people had in Toronto, and I had to be honest, even though I sort of had to say all was well with the process, not to worry, even I found myself a little bit troubled with it. The problem is when you get a room, and in that case I think there were 60, delegates, it's not realistic to necessarily expect everybody to have read it, but also people, when they had comments and criticisms, or they weren't sure it was really truly vetted, you then had to add this additional wrinkle. If it's not even final yet, really what you're doing is giving us permission to take it back for this final review process. And so when it's finally edited after that review process, it'll be something different from what you're voting on today. And there were a number of people who just weren't happy with it. And really, in essence, it was two things. How do we know this really is as it should be? And how do we approve something if it's not really finalized yet? Because there's going to be a whole additional round of editing. The couple of thoughts that occurred to me, because I had to feel like there was some justice to this. The couple of thoughts that occurred to me were two. One was that we flip two pieces of review just in the process, which is instead of doing the ABC move to vote and approve and then do the four-month fellowship review process, to actually flip the order of those two. You know, and once the board has decided we think they should go to the ABC, to just take the time take it out to the fellowship. Let any ABC delegates know it's as posted, it's something you can look and consider. But also, even for the people who have not read a new thing in depth, and this is always going to be the case with any new publication, certainly nobody had read, or very few people had read the Big Red Book in its entirety before it was approved. At least you can say, we have let the whole fellowship look at this for several months. Here are the comments we got. Here's how we've changed it. Yes, we believe this now is very close to what we would consider a final document. And that my feeling coming away from Toronto was, if we reversed this order, so we did the fellowship review period before asking the delegates to vote on it, you might occasionally use a year in final approval. We might have some process of getting it out for some e-sale beforehand while we're waiting for that. But my feeling was that the approval process might go more smoothly if people didn't feel there were still so many moving parts. And so I wanted to throw this out for consideration as to whether people, A, if you have questions about what I'm saying, because I'm sort of trying to describe something that I was fully immersed in that others you may not have thought about, or B, if you simply have any thoughts, would it make sense to shop a new project out to the whole fellowship, post it on the literature committee, give people several months to make suggestions and submit those suggestions before we take it to the ABC for conference approved status? That's the question I wanted to put out. And with that, I would very much welcome any thoughts people have.
This is Jeannie.
Whoa, time out. Somebody beat Carol to the punch slightly. So you go first, then Carol goes second.
Did you say Jeannie there, Charlie?
I think Jeannie was what it sounded like, yeah.
Okay, hi. I think that's outstanding, and it will also elicit a little input on the products that are being presented and will eliminate the problems when we're at the ABC.
Carol? Carol, are you muted?
David, after Carol.
I was waiting for her to finish.
Jeannie, it sounds like you finished. Yeah.
I'm done.
Okay, Carol, go ahead.
Thank you, Jeannie. Okay. I'm forever saying things like this, but the way we used to do it was we would finish it, and then we would present it at the ABC. We did not do the review, and I like that idea. And that the reason I do is because then people can read it, and actually read the whole thing, maybe even start trying to use it, to test it out in their meetings, and then whatever it is. And then when they get to the ABC, they can actually vote on something they know about. So I'm very happy about that. Thank you.
Okay, great. David.
Yeah, absolutely. The there's two things that I would like to see. One, you know, and this depends upon the length of the document. We got a few other trifolds that are going to come up over the next, you know, hopefully 2 to 5 months. And then you have longer documents like the Ready, Set, Go or other booklets that how do we get both a more thorough review and a quicker implementation. So it's a two-step process. So I think absolutely the vetting and then a presentation to the body before the ABC. I think that the a good vehicle for that, if we can do it, would be the Traveler, because it rather than undate it with a lot, you can put a link in it. And, you know, that's, we're up there at 4,000 people now. And unfortunately, just sending it out through the contact list, although that whole meeting list is being revised right now. That's all being updated to much better software. But I think that that would certainly be a positive thing, because the more input, the better. It doesn't mean that it takes longer. Actually, it would take less time with that done in front. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Greg.
Hi, Greg.
Yeah, I'm pondering this. I think it's sound logic to do what you're saying, but there's one thing to back up and really look at what this means, is that there's an implication here that the board decides explicitly what documents are appropriate, because it's not just that the ABC is approving the content of that document. The ABC is approving that this is worth putting our attention to and going forward. And I'm getting a heck of an echo here. I don't know what that's about. So one of the things to be sure of is the understanding then that the board implicitly now makes that decision on its own. Where are we going to focus our energy? I don't think that's bad. I think it's just that it is a different way of making that decision. And I'm done.
Charlie, if everybody would mute who's not on, it would help us probably.
Actually, I've been doing that multiple times. So remute everybody. One of the things about the literature development policy that would still stay the same, regardless of whether we make this change, and so far people seem to approve this flipping of elements, literature can actually get started in multiple different ways. Sometimes people have actually gone straight to the ABC, as happened in San Diego in 2017, saying, we want to have a motion to create a workbook on Loving Parent Workbook. Unanimously supported by the delegates. Everybody thought that was a great idea. Now, that's not the same as creating conference-approved literature. It's basically saying the conference says, go do it. And a team has been created. It's in development. But I believe to be conference-approved literature, in the end, it has to go back to the same ABC saying, you gave us this idea. Now, will you actually endorse this as an official publication of ACA. Similarly, some people just send a note to Robin and the literature staff person. Some people actually go out and author their own books, as the Ready, Set, Go team has done, and Matt, who's on this call, has, you know, been authoring additional passages. There's a lot of different ways things get introduced. As far as moving documents toward the ABC for final approval, that part I don't think has changed. Once it gets to us, once we decide we're working on it, there's still a final, is this ready yet, or does it need to go back? Usually by that time, even the board, like for instance with the Little Big Red Book, our sort of more beginner-focused version of Big Red Book materials, the board has already endorsed that as a goal. In fact, it's actually a high priority goal. Nonetheless, there will still be a review process once we do the document. So there's sort of an idea approval process and then a document approval process. The section I'm talking about really has to do with the document approval process. Is it ready to go forward for fellowship consideration, and at that point, is it then ready to go forward to the ABC? I think, as I've read the policy, the literature committee and the board have always been involved in those decisions. But usually it's not a go, no go as far as should we do it. It's just, has it been done well enough now that it's ready to move, you know, forward to the next stage of review? Any other comments about this? Because this already is very helpful.
Hi, Charlie.
Barb.
This is Denise.
Okay, we're going to do, I think, in voice tones of Mary. Denise first, then Barb, and then.
And then Mary Jo after that.
Then Mary Jo, that's what I thought. Okay.
Okay. So I certainly agree with the process you're suggesting, and kind of looking at what happened at the ABC, one, I think most people didn't read, pre-read the Ready, Set, Go, as I didn't either because I couldn't find it.
Mm.
And so to me, that's kind of a real glitch in the system, in that just, I mean, if we have to get things through delegates, we have to make sure they're getting everything and can find everything, one. And then I guess that's the main. And then just, I guess, the education part. To me, part of it is the education. I felt that some delegates just felt that they had to oppose or they had to belabor things to be heard. It's like I think they were taking American politics into that arena, which is not what we're supposed to be doing. So I'll leave it there. Thanks.
Thank you. Before we move to Barb, that was actually one other advantage I saw in this. I felt like if I could have said, this has already gone through months of fellowship review, and here's the different ways we publicized it, I felt like that would have been a better way of addressing suspicion that people are going to have. How do I know what I'm approving? If they could have at least known, okay, we've got an X number of comments, had X number of people downloading it for review, all of those things I think would have moved the direction of the discussion toward trust rather than uncertainty and suspicion. So I think that's a really good point, Denise. Barb?
Hi. I love the idea of putting it out to the larger fellowship for approval before it goes to the ABC. I think that now that we have the traveler, that is the mechanism to be communicating anything that needs to go fellowship-wide, including what are delegates' responsibilities. I think I don't quite understand where the board fits in, and so maybe this point I'm about to make is not valid, but I'm just concerned about the board because they have so many responsibilities being a bottleneck in the process. So I just wonder if maybe you could speak again about where the board fits in and what their role is in this process.
Literature Committee is, of course, and I'm a member of the board and chair of the Literature Committee. Actually, it's a really good question, Barb. The Literature Committee is a committee of the, you know, ACA World Service Organization. It's a hybrid. It actually has several board members on the committee, which is kind of new, sort of handling different things. MyBrit handles translation. David is on the call, is head of a portion we call business operations. We also have volunteers who are not on the board, and many people on the call have volunteered in some fashion or another. The reason I have always thought fit to include the board, other than the fact that it's already in the OPPM, is that anytime you're talking about a new project, it's not just an idea, it's also a commitment of resources. A new publication is actually a very substantial expenditure of time and money on the front end, getting it ready for publication. And so you're always balancing, this is a good thing to do, is it more important than some other good thing to do? And so timing is always sort of a selection. So basically, it historically and right now, I think it's a very accurate description, is left to this mix of board members and volunteers that we call the Literature Committee and its subcommittees. It's left to us once an idea gets conceptual approval, either by the ABC or because the Literature Committee has suggested and the board has signed off. Once we get going, that's really in the hands pretty much entirely of the Literature Committee volunteers or any author team that we're working with, like with Ready, Set, Go. Once we are done and the literature evaluation team has looked at it, gone back to the authors, finished up that level of development, once we are done and the Literature Committee says this is ready to publish in our mind, we will take it to the board just for a final, are you really ready right now to commit to this? And the two that I took to the board before Toronto were the two we actually presented, this AA Trifold, which is a very modest, you know, commitment of resources, and then Ready, Set, Go, which is a much more significant project. Basically, as I say, it's in the OPPM, but I think it's also appropriate because the board has to make decisions. Are we committing to this project in the next 6 months or some other even non-literature project in the next 6 months? We all look at it. Do we feel it advances the message that ACA wants to carry or not? Those are always going to be subjective decisions. But in practice, I think most of the time, unless there's a compelling disagreement going on that has to be attended to, in practice, the board has given a tremendous amount of deference to the Literature Committee, that if we bring something forward and say we think it's ready, in the case of these two projects that we presented in March, the board heard, we discussed, they signed off on it. So it's not historically been a major hurdle.
Great, thank you.
That answers your question, Barb. Okay, Mary Jo, I think you were next.
Yes, and actually just to address that, in my experience, the board has never gotten in the way or been a roadblock for anything. The actual development of it and the Literature Committee getting into and spending a lot of time on something is known up front, and if it were going to be sort of inappropriate from a resource perspective, then that would have been discussed before a lot of effort went into it, I believe.
Yeah.
Getting back to the... to the point of when is the appropriate time for something to be presented to the ABC, I'm sort of ambivalent because while it's an ideal situation to have everything ready to go for the ABC and have it a final in its final stages and ready to approve, if that were the case, the meditation book would have been delayed by a year. And several other things that have come up would have been delayed. There's another possibility that we haven't considered, and certainly having better information up front for the ABC delegates and so that they have the information and can read it, and then another piece of that then making them accountable for having done it. Another piece is potentially something that hasn't been discussed is that we extend the sort of the mandate of the ABC delegates to give a preliminary approval at the ABC and then a final approval when it's done and sort of extend their service beyond the ABC. It's just a thought. We've talked about it a little bit on the OPPM committee about making the ABC delegate role a little bit more robust. And so I just wanted to throw that out there, whether it helps or not. But again, because I know how things work, and I think a lot of us do or who have been involved in projects, that it's just not always possible to have it print ready by the ABC. It can be very close, and that this would preclude us from moving forward on something that's even pretty close. So I pass.
That's a good point. I'm actually glad this is recorded. There may be multiple other ways of achieving this goal of getting as much discussion as can be done, and as particularly as much publicity out to people who need to do the reviewing. Because I think Denise's point, which you kind of affirmed right now, Mary Jo, is a good one. Even to the extent we got these things in the packet, there were clearly a lot of people showing up at the ABC who, if you smacked them across the face with the Ready, Set, Go, would have had no idea what happened to them. So I do think there's a lot of good ideas. Several people have mentioned the Traveler. Coming up with a whole more concerted education campaign. Because the key thing is this. If you're asking the conference to approve it, it sits badly if people really feel like they're just putting a rubber stamp on something they don't know. You know, so I think in different ways people are affirming ways to make the approval more broad and more meaningful. And I also even like that idea you mentioned, Mary Jo, sort of a conditional approval and then giving us approval to go ahead and put it out and start getting it out in the public domain, maybe in an e-book form, and then coming back a year later, you know, when the full evaluation is complete. I think there are a lot of different ways to go about this. This has been very helpful. Are there any last thoughts on points that have not been discussed yet?
Yes, this is Carol.
Hi, Carol.
Another thing that back in the old Wild West part of this program, what we did was basically if we knew it was ready to go and we knew that everybody wanted it, and even if it was in the middle of the year, we would just go ahead and publish it. Of course, our publishing costs were what they are now. And then it would be, go to the ABC and become actual conference approved. But it was nevertheless usable by everybody.
Right.
And so there's maybe a way to do something like that just by maybe somebody can put something in at the next ABC asking that this can happen.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little seed. Okay, thank you.
Thanks. Again, I think a similar idea of ways of getting it out to broader dissemination, and all of them seem a little less all or nothing to me. They seem like you get more eyeballs on it before you really ask the ABC to say, yes, we're approving this as a document.
Hey, everybody, it's Sarah.
Hey, Sarah, how are you? So we're down to...
Charlie, this is
me.
Matt.
I'm sorry. Matt first and then whoever spoke after Matt. And then we're down to about 10 minutes. I just want to give people...
Rosalie,
time.
Yeah.
Matt, then Rosalie.
I'll just keep this short. And it goes to this idea of keeping the process open.
Mm-hmm.
So, I do the WSO report for my intergroup. Mm-hmm. And I've been doing it for years, at least 2 years. And I report on the literature development. And, I represent tens of ACA members that are working on Ready, Set, Go in 2016 and 17.
Right.
And we were not aware that Ready, Set, Go was coming up for approval like it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And we had put in so much effort. And I think it was really important to have an open process.
Mm-hmm.
And not only were we not invited, it was not in... The fellowship as a whole wasn't invited over 2016 and 17 in this process. So I just want to say that it's okay to voice my grievance in this point, that it's so important to be open. I'll just pass with that.
Before we move to Rosalie, Matt, I think that's a completely valid concern and critique. When I was talking a while ago about getting an updated quarterly literature status report, that would be one way of, which to my knowledge we've never really had, taking all of this stuff out of the stew pot and getting it out into a place where people can kind of have and even a broad, even awareness of what's actually a priority project, what's sitting in the backlog, and what's not even being considered at all. And I think that's going to be helpful to bring different people with similar goals or ideas, you know, together into one discussion. Rosalie?
Yes. Hi. I've been the chairperson of our intergroup for a little over a year now, and our intergroup was not brand new, but it was near death when we decided we would see what we could do, and new people took over, me being the main one. And we spent most of that first year from April to April overcoming the negative impression from the original formation of our intergroup. And this feeds right into this, is transparency. I started putting emails out to everyone, literally everyone I had an email address for. I started getting phone calls back, letting me know how the previous intergroup officers had made them feel. And some of the feedback I've heard from some of the previous ABCs has been the same. People feel, my favorite word, disenfranchised. Why should they be there? They're not important, and they're made to feel that way. So I think that your idea is a very good one. I think that everyone else who has shared has put a spotlight on all the little difficulties that can be encountered that may have to be considered. And I believe if you're flexible and don't have a hard and fast, this is how it's going to be or else, attitude, you know, but flexible with each individual piece of literature is going to need a little bit different kind of care. I think that this is probably going to work very well and be efficient, as you said. I think the idea of having that transparency along the way, and then to be able to go to the WSO to the ABC and say, here's what we have so far, and this is how it's been built, how it's been processed, and the feedback we've gotten, and here's the participation we've had. Then the people there at the ABC who may be new and or maybe haven't been paying attention and all of a sudden they've woke up will say, oh, there's been a process. They'll realize that it hasn't just been dumped in their laps and now they have to make a final vote. I think it's got a potential for some very good, what is the word I want? I'm at that age. Reverberations throughout the community. I can't think of a better way to say that. Anyway, so I am in support of this. I think it's a very good idea, and thank you. I think it's something I've been attempting to do with my intergroup, and it's working very well here on a small scale. So thank you.
Thank you, Rosalie. And I want to speak to your, also your point about disenfranchisement versus inclusion. I'm relatively new. My first ABC actually was as a speaker in 2015, and my first as a delegate was in Florida in 2016. I would say there have been a lot of lessons learned in the last few years, and many, many changes with the whole tone of and goal of what an ABC is, that it's not just about us, the board, reporting to the fellowship what we're doing, but creating opportunities for the delegates to really guide us, not only through feedback, through feedback and in some cases actually, you know, raising votes on decisions, as happened this last one. I have actually found it a very exciting couple of years because, again, for WSO as an organization to work at its level of service, it needs to really, truly reflect authentic values of a broad group of people, you know. And so, so beyond how do we approve literature, I really appreciated your comment about this is a way of making clear to everybody that it's not just a small authorship team. It's really something that reflects the fellowship. They've been given a chance. They've really had an opportunity to make an empowered and informed decision. I think these are just really, really critical goals for us. And I think we have found that the ABC has been a much happier experience generally the last couple of years, just as I think maybe you're finding in Washington that your intergroup experience is taking on a new tone because it's, you know, different values are being emphasized. So so I appreciate that. So any last comments on the review process? Because there's a couple of things I'd like to bounce off before we wrap up this quarterly call.
Charlie, this is Elizabeth from LaGrange, and I just have a quick question.
Sure, of course.
Okay, and it's going to show my lack of experience in this. And I'll use Ready, Set, Go, because that's the that I'm most familiar with. So in April in Toronto, was, in this case, Ready, Set, Go, approved? Like, it didn't seem like it was a final approval, and then there's this request for input, and then does that mean that Ready, Set, Go, or a similar project, then has a final approval at the next ABC? I'm unclear on what its status is right now.
Elizabeth, you're actually getting to the heart of why I was raising some of the issues I was. We made clear, right now we sort of get the ABC approve, then we take it out for 3 to 4 months of fellowship approval. And as you've probably heard from the discussions involving Matt, sometimes those are little tinkering approvals. Sometimes it's like, wow, we've been working doing presentations with Ready, Set, Go. We have a whole additional topic we believe should be incorporated in the document, you know, which is a major, you know, revision to consider. So as a result, because we have this thing of present, it's almost like ready, aim, ready, fire, aim. Because we have this thing about the ABC is approving, and then it's going out for a whole new round of revisions, what I told people, because it was not really an easy discussion, I think it was one of the most tense one I was involved in. There were people who were just not comfortable voting on that level of review. What I said was, if something really major changes, we'll move it forward. But if it's truly different from what was approved, if it's a minor change, it was approved. But if it's a truly, we're presenting a different book for the fellowship, I said I would bring it back a year later. It was approved by the ABC. So it is conference-approved literature. This final review process was commissioned, but because of the questions that were raised, I did open the door if the revisions were substantial enough before we actually read it for publication that I would consider bringing it back for last approval. So there is a door that is opened by this, the order in which we're doing our review process. Again, I feel like an advantage of doing the fellowship review earlier is it reduces this likelihood of major changes coming in after the ABC has been consulted. So approved,
thank you. Very helpful.
For last vote. Very helpful. Okay.
Yeah, very helpful. Okay, thank you.
So anyway, so here's a last couple of things. One is this. One of the things I've been very pleased by on this call, I feel like there's been a number of names, people who have either been on the calls but perhaps not as active, or people who really seem to be on the call for the first time this time. We have a very vibrant and growing volunteer-driven process of development and evaluation. If you, by chance, have writing or editing skills or other skills related to publishing, which I'm assuming is probably close to universal on this call based on the fact of who's joining and why you're on a literature call, I really would love it if after you guys get off the call today, you would spend some time thinking, would you like to learn more about being a literature volunteer if you're not already? And if you even feel the answer to that reflection is openness to learning more, I really would invite everybody who's not already an active literature volunteer to contact Robin R. at litstaff@adultchildren.org, or I believe, David, is the literature at adult, literature@acawso.org email also working?
Yes, it is, Charlie.
Okay. Or a second email, I should say, literature@acawso.org. Just send us a note expressing your interest, and we can begin a discussion as to what projects you might want to be involved in. The need is there. I think everybody can tell on a call like this, because this is the way a lot of our literature development calls are. They're discussions of people who've studied it are involved, and they are wonderful discussions that really help every project we touch. And so if you are willing to consider being involved on a more regular basis, I just ask you to reflect and consider sending your name forward, because it's, I think, been a great experience for all of us. And then secondly, as I said, our first sponsorship...
Charlie, this is Sarah. Can you just repeat those two email addresses real quick?
Yes. The more critical one, because I think it gets all three of us, is literature@acawso.org. And then as a backup, litstaff, L-I-T-S-T-A-F-F, at adultchildren.org, will get those to us. And then we can begin the process of sort of onboarding you, figuring out what teams might be best, and where the help is needed, and just sort of have that discussion. Because people who already are a part of it, sometimes they're very into doing one project, really not that interested in doing another. So we certainly explore where the best fits are before we make assignments. Secondly, as a subset of this, as I said earlier, the third Saturday, and I have to get an exact time, in August, is my tentative goal for starting a first meeting on sponsorship and analysis of our needs and what we might say different in our leadership, or our literature, rather. There are other terms that are used for sponsorship, fellow travelers. Mentorship is one that's used by a flyer that Carol has introduced out on the West Coast. I've even heard terms like trusted guide, but really an analysis of what this idea of guiding people through ACA recovery so they're not doing it in isolation means, what issues we need to work through, what resources are needed to make this kind of support more common, and then what literature changes should be considered. We had a great program, Mybert and I, out in Toronto on sponsorship. We got about 20 people who are very interested in following up on this. But people on this call, again, if you're interested, those same two email addresses I sent out would really, really welcome your getting involved in this at the ground level. And as I say, I think right now, third Saturday in August is what I'm shooting for. But if it turns out that's not the date, we'll certainly get back to everybody. And then I think that is it for now. And if you are not, was there anybody who learned about today's call in some other way than receiving an email about it? In other words, are there people here who are not on our literature email send-out list?
Charlie, this is Elizabeth again from LaGrange. I actually got the email from Matt.
From Matt. Okay, great. Can you then send your email into one of these two addresses I've been citing, and I'll we'll get you on our send-out list?
You'll do.
Okay, great. Same for anybody else on the call.
Charlie,
okay,
I have a question.
Charlie, yes.
I have a question. On the agenda, it says general literature Slack channel. There is no such thing.
That's exactly what I was going to talk about. I was going to actually skip over it because we're running late, but I'm going to do the one-minute yay or nay. How many people – let me try it the reverse. How many people on this call aren't on Slack, have no idea what I mean when I talk about Slack?
I have no idea.
Okay. Most people seem to. Okay, again, if you are interested in getting involved on Slack, and I'll explain it very quickly, send an email, literature@acawso.org, and we'll get you in. But basically, it's a very agile communication channel. There are groups. The WSO board has a whole bunch of different topics. Various committees have different channels. Literature, we have a number of our development groups use Slack with what are called private groups, where they talk amongst themselves about the projects they're working on. What we have not had to date is just a general public channel about literature topics, where people can just send something in, throw ideas around, hey, we think this would be of interest, what do you think? It's sort of like a fishbowl kind of discussion group where you throw a message in and everybody who's got access to that channel can fire a message back. And it's not connected with email. You have to go access it. But once you go in, it's like a discussion board where you can just follow what's going along. But once you're a member of Slack, you can also create private channels to communicate one-on-one with people or in small groups. So it's a very nice agile communication tool that can be used in different ways. And so the question I wanted to ask is, do people like the idea, and this is probably more meaningful for the people who have used Slack, to have just a general literature channel on Slack so that we can just sort of have running topics that are of interest to people and anybody can sort of initiate things they'd like others to talk about or think about?
This is David. I think it would be useful.
Yeah. That's one vote, yes.
Carol, too. As long as people are careful about what they put on there and it isn't something that is copywritten by somebody else.
Yeah.
Well, this is Greg. I agree. I think it's a great idea. It's also a way, once we're all on that channel, then we can certainly get notified by other than email of the meetings we're going to have.
That's a really good point, Greg. Okay. Myra, yes?
Yeah, I have a concern about this because literature, a general literature channel can be misunderstood, and we don't want to create a situation where people are talking about translation and whatnot in that channel because they seem to think that they're in the right place. So I see what you're saying.
So you'd want clarity between the specialized channels and a general channel.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
I think that's a very good point, Charlie. There's a
table. Okay. That is a good one. We've worked through similar issues, like, for instance, with service structure. We have a discussion group channel, but then we also have a publicly accessible channel. Anyway, we can continue the discussion if we want. We can try it out if we want. Are there any other thoughts people have right now?
This is Barb. I find the idea of an overall literature channel on Slack to be overwhelming because there is such a broad scope for the literature committee. That's my thought.
Okay. In that case, with people pro and con, I will do what I do in moments of uncertainty, and I will aggressively ponder. If we don't have something up and running, if we can't sort of work through a way to do this right, I'm likely to bring it up on the next call. But I'm glad we at least got the discussion going on it. And with that, we're kind of very near the end. Does anybody have a one-minute burning desire to throw something into the mix here?
Back to what Greg said was, it would be good if maybe initially that channel would just be for announcements like meetings and so on.
Okay. There was one other person.
It's Barb. I'm the volunteer coordinator for the overall literature committee. Mm-hmm. So if there's somebody on the call that is not receiving either the quarterly notifications about the literature call or they're on or want to be on some subcommittee of the literature, they can send an email directly to me because I'm the one that keeps the database of people. And it's acalitreview@gmail.com.
I'm sorry, acalitreview@gmail.com.
Gmail.com. So they can send it directly to me, and I will
actually,
make sure that they get it in the database.
That's a really good suggestion. That'll sort of cut out some middle people.
Right, exactly. It'll be a lot faster.
Okay, great. Thank you.
And hi, this is Denise.
Hi, Denise.
And I'd like to kind of hook on with what Mybert was saying, and that is to open up a literature channel to everyone. I think we could have a kind of a repeat of the ABC of people who are just throwing wrenches in, and because they have no pony in the race, they haven't given anything, they haven't given.
Let me throw this out as a pilot idea because I think there's been some very interesting comments. What about if we opened up the opportunity to join this channel to people who are receiving the quarterly announcement? In other words, people who actually have a track record of being a volunteer within the literature world.
Yeah, I think that'd make a big difference.
Okay. As opposed to a fully public channel. And then I can just repeat the announcement each quarterly call. If you want to be a part of this, you know, let Barb know.
I think that might be the best way.
Okay.
David.
Yeah.
This girl, yeah.
Okay. I'm going to say we'll proceed on that basis. I think that's a more measured way to do it. And I think there are even a lot of people who are in our quarterly mail out who probably would not join anyway. I think there, and that might be an opportunity for us to even sort of call who's active and who isn't. So so anyway, listen, with that, this call, we're running out of time. One last minute, if there's any new topic that people want to throw in. Is there anything that we've not talked about that it urgently needs talking about?
This is Marty from the Comm Line. Thank you all for your work.
Great. Hi, Marty. Thank you for your service. What's your next deadline while we're on this call? Submission deadline.
Submission deadline for the Comm Line?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't have a calendar in front of me, but the next one goes out in October. So September, probably. I don't know. Robin, help me out. I'm blank.
Around Labor Day.
Yeah. Well, it's a month before it comes out.
Okay. So about September 1st, give or take.
Okay. Thank you, Charlie.
Okay, great. Thanks so much. Thank you, Marty. So with that, we're going to close with a serenity prayer. And again, thank you so much for your participation on the call. We do these quarterly literature calls the first Saturday of each quarter. It's listed on the literature page. I'm going to see if I can get it off my cell phone when the next call will be. The next call will be this time. Actually, one last question. If people had a choice between 11:30 or noon Eastern as we do it, is there a preference between the two? Mybert, was it you who preferred 5:30 your time?
This is Denise, and if I'm in Alaska, noon would be better.
Yeah, I thought some of the West Coast people might like noon. Mybert, would that be a hardship for you if we do 6 p.m. start your time?
No, it's okay. This Saturday is always a hard day because,
totally understood. Yes, it is. Okay, so the next call, I will announce this, but it will be noon, 12 noon Eastern time. October 6th is the first Saturday in October, and we will find multiple ways of publicizing that, including a more inclusive, expansive literature channel on Slack, as well as Barb's announcement.
Charlie?
Yeah.
This is Mybert. You shouldn't be considerate of me on the 6th of October because I have a prior engagement here in Europe. So
okay.
You can actually that day set it to a later time if you want.
I prefer consistency, so we'll do it noon Eastern, and that'll be the new time, and I'll adjust one of my committee calls to deal with that. So with that, we'll close with a serenity prayer again. Thanks very much for everybody's participation today. God.
Hi.
God.
Yeah, I grant me the serenity. To accept the people.
To accept the people.
Until I cannot change.
Courage,
the
strength,
and
the one I can. And the wisdom to
know that one is me.
Okay. Thank you so much, everybody. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Thank
Charlie,
you,
everybody.
Bye-bye.
Charlie.
Bye-bye.
Before you go, can I ask you a question? This is Carol. Charlie, did you go?
Hi, Carol. This is Denise.
Hi, Denise.
Hi, Carol. It's David.
Oh, there you go. Hi, Denise.